mejora tu nivel de inglés. Llama ahora al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupobaugan.com.
Estás escuchando Baugan Radio.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
Look, no excuses.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to No Excuses. And this is Fitz. Let's start with some pronouns. Are you ready?
Yes.
I did this on the radio yesterday. Yeah. Oh, you're all on one side here.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a small town near Cork City called Fermoy. Not really notable for anything except there's one of the most important rivers in County Cork flows through it. And usually in a town, when the river flows through it, the town is evenly spread on both sides. But this town is very strange. Almost all of the town is on one side. So there's a common expression in Cork that the older people use. If something is disorganized looking, we say it's all to one side. And the other person would say, like the town of Fermoy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why is it? Because the
I don't know. It just, a lot of our towns were not really planned towns. Mm-hmm. So they just grew. Yeah. And I don't know, for some reason, the one side was more built up than the other one. So, I will say, for example, when did Philip give the jewels to Nancy? And you'll say, when did he give them to her?
Mm-hmm.
So, when did Philip give the jewels to Nancy?
When did he...
Start again.
When did he gave them to him?
When did he give them to him?
Yes.
When did he give them to her?
To her. Ah, yes. When did he give them to her?
Very good.
When did he give them to her?
Very good. He gave... Sorry. No. When did Michael and Denise show the book to their mother?
When did they show it to her?
Good. Say it again.
When did I show it to her?
Very good. When did the woman hand the documents to Nigel?
When did he handle the documents to her? To him?
When did she handle the documents?
When did she handle it?
When did she handle them?
When did she hand them to her?
Yes.
Yes. When did she hand them to her?
What does it mean to hand something to somebody?
Darle algo a alguien.
Yeah.
What does it mean? En mano.
Yes.
Entregar en mano.
Handle would mean, for example, you have the handle of the door, handling the car, managing the car, and to handle money.
Manejar dinero.
Yeah. Which can mean the general sense of managing money or physically handling money.
Yeah.
Asking her if she always washes her hands after handling money.
Do you always wash your hands after handling money?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's a prime source of bacteria.
It's
filthy. Yeah. Even the coins.
But they say that's es lo que menos bacterias tiene, la plata.
but the paper money.
Yes.
The paper money can be full of a lot of...
No. Es la que menos tiene bacterias.
The paper money?
Yes.
Really?
They say.
I don't know. I don't believe them.
They say it has cocaine. Because...
Cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they sell a lot of people.
Yeah, so be careful. So.
In a lot of places, they don't accept cash anymore.
It's true.
Yes.
In Birmingham, for example, we had problems with that.
Yes.
Really, in Birmingham?
Yes, in Great Britain.
We withdrew London. We withdrew money because, you know, when you arrive in a country, you want to have cash.
And places wouldn't accept it.
And we came back with the same amount of money.
Interesting.
Because,
All right. When did the workers deliver the merchandise to the inspector? The inspector's a woman.
When did they...
When did they deliver it to her?
When did they deliver it to her?
No, deliver it. deliver it.
When did they deliver it to her?
When did your uncle sell his car to the Smith family?
When did he sell his car to the Smith family?
His car, pronoun.
When did they sell it? When did he sell it to them?
Ah.
When did he sell it to them?
When did he sell it to them?
Very good. When did Natasha receive the ticket from her cousin? Her cousin is a man.
When did she receive it from him?
Good. When did the parents take the toy from their daughter?
When did they take...
the toy?
It from her.
Very good. And again?
When did they take it from her?
Very good. Now, when did the parents take the toys from their daughters?
Daughters, in plural. When did they take it from
the toys?
Them?
The toys, also plural.
When did they take them from her? The hers, her, there.
When did they take them from
when
them?
When did they take it? When did they take them from them?
Good. Now again.
When did they take them from them?
When did you buy the computers from the dealer, and the dealer is a man?
When did you buy it from... when did you buy them from him?
Good, and again?
When did you buy them from him?
Very good. Now, if you ever go to Ireland, and I recommend this very strongly, this is a... You would see the same thing here, but my first proper job, in a way, was working on my cousin's farm. And working on a farm, you learn a lot of things. You have good physical work. You're outdoors. It was the summertime. My cousin, at that time, he had a farm, but he was also what we call an agricultural contractor. He would go to other farms and he would cut their wheat and plow. How do you say plow? Plowing.
Arado.
Yes. Baling hay. What's hay?
Hay es heno.
And baling it.
Ponerlo en enos, no,
yeah.
Embalas.
And so they also had cows. So I would get up at 5:30 in the morning, and my parents said, okay, you're going to do this because this will sort you out, right? Yeah. And of course, at the beginning, I was like, but then I began to really like it. You get up at 5:30 in the morning, you go out, you milk the cows. We would go downstairs, and his mother would have a cup of tea and some toast ready for us.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go out and milk the cows, we'd come back in, and then we'd get a proper breakfast. Porridge, how do you say porridge?
Avena.
Yes, yeah. And tea, toast, probably a boiled egg, as in a hard boiled egg, in an egg cup. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, you'd get bacon, black pudding.
Butter.
Yeah.
Black pudding is como morcilla.
Morcilla, very similar.
Honey.
Yeah. Not in that house
marmalade.
So much. Marmalade with the toast. Yeah, oh. Yeah.
Oh, it's true that marmalade is only...
citrus fruits.
De naranja?
Yes, typically orange, lemon, but most typically marmalade is made from oranges.
Uh-huh.
And the most typical British and Irish...
¿Y la otra marmelada, la normal?
Jam.
Jam.
Ah, jam.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the most typical... marmalade that we had when I was growing up was made from oranges. From where?
Bitter oranges.
Seville. From where?
From
where?
From Argentina.
From Spain.
From Valencia.
No, from
south
Seville.
From Seville. Ah.
From Seville.
The trees of Seville.
Yeah.
Because in Seville there are a lot of orange trees.
And the first time I went to Seville, because I had read this growing up and going to school, we studied a lot of the classical English poets, and you had Lord Byron, Lord Gordon George Byron, or Lord George Gordon Byron, who was a great poet and a crazy man. And he was, what they said about him was that he was mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Because if you went on a night out with Byron, anything could happen. But he wrote about Seville. And obviously, you can imagine an Englishman in the late 1800s traveling to Seville, you know, getting the boat from Dover to Calais, travelling down through France, travelling down through Spain and going to Seville. And he talked about the smell of the oranges in the air.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the first time I went to Seville, and I thought, it's true.
Yes.
The smell of orange in the air.
Yes, and so now they are plenty, with plenty of oranges.
This time of year?
At least a month ago. I went there a month ago, and they were all the trees with oranges.
Okay, all right. Let's do a little bit of work with there and the verb to be. All right. Hay un problema con el sistema nuevo.
There is a problem with the new system. There is a problem with the new system.
Oops. Hay varios asuntos que atender.
There are several matters to attend.
Say it again.
There are several matters to attend.
Okay, and with a phrasal verb instead of attend? No, sorry, you would say to attend to.
To attend to.
No, use a phrasal verb.
To deal with.
Very good. Or?
To take care of. Okay, there are several matters to take care of.
Había mucha gente aquí cuando llegué.
There were many people here.
No, mucho.
There were more people here than... A lot of people. Yeah. There were a lot of many, people here when I came.
Yeah. A lot of it is very useful because you can use a lot of for countable and uncountable. And for some reason, I don't know, Spanish people don't use a lot of. So there were a lot of, because you can say, I have a lot of money. There were a lot of people.
There were a lot of people when I came here.
You don't have
here.
To think about much money. You can say a lot of. Yeah.
There were a lot of people when I came here.
Mm. When I arrived.
Full sentence. There were?
There were a lot of people when I arrived. There were a lot of people here. There were a lot of people here when I arrived.
When I got here.
There were a lot of people here when I arrived.
There were a lot of people here when I arrived.
Good. Hubo una explosión en la fábrica anoche.
There was an explosion in the factory last night.
Very good. Había varios faxes aquí esta mañana.
There were several faxes here this morning.
Good. Habrá una fiesta esta noche si no llueve. Llueve.
There will be a party tonight if it doesn't rain.
Very good. Va a haber una reunión esta tarde.
There's going to be a meeting this afternoon.
Very good. Va a haber muchos problemas con esto.
There will be a lot of problems with this.
Very good. And you're going to?
There are going to be a lot of problems with this.
Ha habido un malentendido.
There's been a misunderstanding.
Ha habido varios casos.
There have been several cases.
Habría menos casos si hubiera una vacuna.
There will be less...
No, habría.
There would be less cases if there...
No, this is actually a native mistake.
There would be fewer cases if there was a vaccine, or if there were, because it's also a native mistake.
Yes,
this is my problem.
Yes,
I speak like native people.
You're too native.
There would be fewer cases if there were a vaccine.
Yeah. If you go to London, you will hear Londoners saying, You was out last night, mate. You was.
Yeah.
Oof. You was. Yeah.
Can you repeat it, please?
They'll say, you was out last night, mate. What's mate?
Mate.
Yeah. Out. Yeah.
Out.
What is this sentence in proper English? Where's me at? Where's me at?
Where is my something? Where is my...
My hat.
Hi.
My hat.
Where's me at?
Where's me at?
Yeah.
They don't pronounce the H.
They're kind of like the Andaluces of English. Where's me at, mate?
But it's impossible to understand.
Even for us. Even for us.
But is it Cockney or?
That's Cockney, yeah.
Cockney.
Yeah. You're out of order, mate. You're out of order. You're bang out as. You know what
I
mean?
I don't understand.
You are bang out of order. It means you're behaving very badly. So they say, bang out as, mate. You're supposed to understand that. From watching TV, my generation understood. But I had cousins from London, or I have cousins from London, and the kids would come and visit. So their parents had kept some of their Irish accent. They were easy to understand, but the kids were pure London. I remember my parents saying, I don't understand these people at all. You bang at us, mate. You bang at us. Where's me at?
But in Birmingham, you couldn't believe it. You couldn't believe it. You think, are you speaking English?
For example, a normal person would say, I visited my mother. And they say, I went round me mums. I went round me mums. It's a terrible accent. Yeah, yeah. But I suppose it's like if you go to, I don't know, a small town in the Cayenne.
Yeah.
Hey, watch out. Or the south of Madrid.
Yeah. I remember a friend of mine who went to London and he asked everybody, where the potofi? Where the potofi? Nobody understand him.
Ah, the potofi, yeah.
He wanted to ask
the post office.
The post office. Where the potofi?
Richard told, I'm sure you've heard this story before. Richard, this was a long time ago. And I can't remember what city or town it was in Andalusia. But the typical place you go in the middle of the day for a menu del día. And the waiter comes along, and of course, now they write it down. You can, or you see it outside.
Ah, yes, I know that
story. But in those days where, you know, they tell you. And they tell you, like, blah, 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 blah. And the final dish was pepa, pepa. And the person with Richard was Spanish, and Richard said, yes, pepa. And the other was like, no, ni idea. And Richard said, I'm going to order it and see what comes. So he said, okay, pepa.
Pepa.
Very easy. Pepa. It's very easy. Pepa.
But imagine as a foreigner and you're thinking, what?
Pepa. I didn't know
but this
that.
Is why, you know, people, sometimes they learn too formally. The best thing sometimes, I used to do this, because I did company classes. So between the classes, I had time and I would go and I'd always have a book with me. So I'd finish a class maybe at 11 a.m. My next class was on until 2. And I'd go to some bar and I would always choose what you would call bar de toda la vida.
Yes.
We would say old school.
Old school.
And I would always go in and I would sit at the counter. I'd order a coffee. And I always wanted to find the kind of place where there were old men. Retired men.
Yes.
Maybe drinking a cognac and maybe playing cards.
Yeah.
And I would just pretend to read the book, but I would be listening through the conversation. And at the beginning, of course, I heard nothing. I understood nothing. And I would listen. And then after a few weeks, I would think, okay, I think they're talking about politics. And you would listen and listen and listen. And then you would, over time, you would begin to understand. And the most important thing is to understand.
Yes.
So you go to a city like Birmingham.
Mm-hmm. What can I get you? I'm talking about that.
I have no idea what the person is saying. Right? But over time, you think, okay. Yes, now. You go to London, where's me at? Where's me at? You go to Edinburgh, one of the most beautiful cities in Europe. They have the black cabs there, the taxis like you have in London. You get in. And the driver almost always answers, where are we going today, Paul? And you hear, where are we going today with the thing at the end? Where are we going today, Paul? What's Paul? Pal. What's a pal?
A pal is amigo, no?
Yeah. You get into a New York taxi. Where are we going today, buddy? Where are we going today, buddy? You know? And in London, where are we going today, governor?
Governor.
Where are we going today, governor? What's governor?
Governor.
Yeah, jefe. Governor.
Jefe.
Jefe.
Yes. Jefe. Yeah, we say sometimes jefe.
Yeah. Debe de haber una solución.
There must be a solution.
Another way of saying it? Instead of must?
There are...
Should.
Almost.
Have to be.
No, almost.
There have to.
You have the right verb.
Has to be. There has to be. There has to be a solution.
Tiene que haber una forma de resolverlo.
There has to be a way to solve it.
Very good. Tiene que haber al menos tres.
There have to be at least three.
Debería haber más sillas.
There should be more chairs.
Podría haber más de lo que piensas.
There could be more than you think.
Very good. Me dijeron el otro día que había habido problemas con el sistema nuevo.
They told me the other day there were problems. There had been problems with the old system.
New system.
With the new system.
Very good. And again?
They told me there had...
No.
They told me the other day there had been problems with the new system.
Well done. Very good. Siempre ha habido problemas con el sistema.
There have always been problems with the system.
No parece haber una solución.
It doesn't look.
No parece haber. Haber.
It doesn't.
Not it, no.
There doesn't seem to be a solution.
Yeah, and again.
There doesn't seem to be a solution.
Yep. habría habido más problemas si no hubiéramos visto el error a tiempo.
There would have been more problems if we hadn't seen the mistake on time. In time.
Very common question from students. What's the difference? I can't say there's, you know, this is, a lot of these questions are, you know, language is organic, so it's not 100%. But I would say on time is exactly at the right moment. In time is a little bit
before
you get there early. Yeah. One of my most hated things, lack of punctuality. I think I told you about what my father used to do, right? With the watches. Did I tell you? When we were kids, almost everyone of my generation got communion and confirmation. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people I know in Spain got communion, but not confirmation. We got it because it was pretty much obligatory at school. Mm-hmm. But not only that, it was very good business.
Yeah.
Ask me why it was good business.
Why was it a good business?
You got a lot of money as a kid.
Yeah.
Because you went to visit all the cousins, you know. For my sisters and I mean, we visited, you know, I don't have that many uncles and aunts, but we have a lot of people when I was growing up, like here, who we called uncles and aunts, but they were my parents' cousins.
Mm-hmm.
You went to visit them. You went to visit the neighbours. So, I mean, this was, I got my confirmation in 1982, and I got, and this was very common, you know, £200 or £300. And so my parents said, okay, that's for a bike, the rest goes in the bank. So it was good business. And we were kids, you know, we didn't have that much interest in the religion, but, you know, it was good money. But it was also a tradition that your parents would give you a watch. So my parents gave us a watch, and my father was...
When you turned 16?
16? Ah, so we were 12. Yeah, now they get it a bit older. So you got a watch. And this was before mobile phones and internet and everything like that. And my father was religious about punctuality. My mother is now, but she wasn't until she met my father. So we all got a watch. And all through our lives as kids, we were always thinking, how come everywhere we go, you know, we're always the first people there? You know, it's 11 o'clock and no one else is there. And like, then we realized my father put every, you know, the clocks in the car, in the house, everything were 15 minutes fast. And even now, I always think, I aim to get somewhere 15 minutes before because it removes so much stress. You see people who are stressed and you're like, it's because you don't bloody leave your house in time. You know, leave the house in time, add on 15 minutes. Yeah, but, you know, I don't have time. Get up 15 minutes earlier in the morning. Your whole day is better. Anyway.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No parece haber una solución.
There doesn't seem to be a solution.
Good. Antes había mucha gente aquí.
There used to be a lot of people here.
Say it again.
There used to be a lot of people here.
No, say a lot of.
A lot
Almost
of.
Like it's Russian. A lot of.
There used to be a lot of people here.
Reminds me of Andropov, who was one of, after Brezhnev died, you had Konstantin Chernenko and Yuri Andropov. I can't remember which was which. No hay tantos como antes había.
There aren't so many as there aren't. So much.
There aren't as many as they used to be.
Good. And I'll make aren't one syllable, aren't.
There aren't as many as they used to be.
How do you say sea lion in Spanish?
Leo Marino.
Yeah, you know the sound they make? Aren't.
Yeah.
No tiene que haber una solución necesariamente.
There mustn't have to be a solution necessary.
Very good.
There doesn't have to be a solution necessary.
Now, necessarily.
Necessarily.
Very good. If you go to Sweden, they use the word, which must be from French, necessaire, which is a little like what we call a wash bag.
We use it here.
So necessarily.
Necessarily.
Now, the whole thing, there doesn't?
There doesn't have to be a solution necessarily.
Very good.
There doesn't have to be a solution
necessarily.
Very good. Ask me what my favorite verb is.
What's your favorite verb?
The verb to do.
To do.
Yeah. No puede haber tanta gente.
No puede. There doesn't have...
No puede.
There couldn't be... There can't be so many people.
No, it's not wrong, but I prefer something else.
There can't be...
There can't be that many people.
Yeah.
So many
is correct, but I prefer there can't be that many.
There can't be that many people.
It's more people than so many.
I mean, the meaning is right. It's the same, but I prefer that many. That many.
Yeah.
I'm not even. I don't know why. I just do. Puede que haya una solución. We had a teacher at school, Joe O'Shea, great teacher, history and Irish or Gaelic. We called him Joe's Nose because he had a big nose. And he would say, boys, I'm always right. I'm always right. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Young people in Spain speak and understand English better today than 20 years ago. However, their level is still insufficient for effective communication in the professional world. If you're a young person, and if you want to progress in your profession rapidly and decisively, stop everything and focus now 100% on English. Get the problem 100% out of the way now. Don't postpone it.
Sí, dígame.
Hi, Pedro, this is Siobhan, your Vaughan teacher. Welcome to your telephone class.
Oh, hello, Siobhan. How are you doing today?
I'm great. So let's begin by reviewing the present perfect. Have you ever been to China?
No, I haven't.
¿No tienes tiempo de ir a clase? ¿Quieres que tu profesor Vaughan te dé clases por teléfono cuando mejor te venga? Entonces te va a gustar mucho nuestro nuevo programa de clases telefónicas de Vaughan. Infórmate ya en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Escúchanos en cualquier momento y en cualquier lugar. Descarga la app de Vaughan Radio.
En 3 meses puedes hacer muchas cosas. Puedes ponerte cachas en el gimnasio.
Hola, guapa.
Ig, te has pasado un poco, ¿no?
O también puedes hacer un curso trimestral en Vaughan. En solo 3 meses verás cómo tu inglés da un importante salto de calidad. Si necesitas mejorar tu inglés sin perder el tiempo, con un método que realmente funciona, hazte con uno de nuestros cursos trimestrales. La matrícula ya está abierta. Infórmate sin compromiso en el 91-133-5833. O en grupovaughan.com.
¿Cómo tú ves tanta pasión en lo que hacen, tanta dedicación? Porque luego tienes a lo largo del máster, tienes feedbacks con ellos. Y ellos te dicen exactamente cuáles son tus puntos débiles, cuáles son tus fortalezas, cuáles son tus weaknesses, debilidades, ¿no? ¿Sabes? Y cuando ves a alguien que hace con tanta pasión algo, no te viene tan natural decepcionarle. Porque si tú ves a alguien que da el 100%, a mí por lo menos no me viene como decepcionarte así. Es una cuestión de respeto que luego se desarrolla y se ve también con los compañeros. Cuando, sobre todo, en un método tan dinámico, tan drilling class, pam, 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 maravilloso.
La motivación desde el primer minuto hasta el último es un factor importante, pero no el único. La excelencia de nuestros profesores, nuestros maestros de toda la vida, esos que hacían que el resto de tu vida sintieses verdadera pasión por aquella asignatura. Así son nuestros profesores del Máster en Inglés Profesional. ¿Por qué no llamas? ¿Vas a perder esta oportunidad? 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833. Llama y solicita gratis tu prueba de nivel. 91-133-5833.
¿Te sientes orgulloso de ti mismo? Porque tú lo puedes hacer.
Con el Máster en Inglés Profesional puedes conseguir lo que quieras. Tú lo puedes hacer.
Este sábado, pásate por tu kiosco y pide tu ejemplar de Aprende Inglés con Disney English Vaughan, con El Mundo y Marca. Por 6,95 euros, tus hijos y tú aprenderéis inglés con vuestros personajes Disney favoritos y los mejores profesores Vaughan. Esta semana, Raya y el último dragón. Así que ya sabes, este sábado en tu kiosco, por 6,95 euros, con El Mundo y Marca. Aprende inglés con Disney English Vaughan.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio.
You're listening to Vaughan Radio.
Vaughan Radio.
Back to the program. Let's do a little bit of vocabulary now. Before we do this, two interesting things, which probably is one of the many things that Ireland has in common with Spain. I was just reading about this yesterday. A part of Irish culture, especially in the countryside, is we have, I don't know, a very strong respect for death and everything to do with death. So when I was growing up. And this is still the case. I mean, from the case of being a child, and especially because my father was a politician, we went to funerals. We went to 3 or 4 funerals every week. Because the funerals, it's very common. You go to a funeral, even if you don't know the person who died, for example, a very common thing with us was you work with somebody, not even a close relationship, and their mother, their father, their mother-in-law dies. Everybody from the office goes to the funeral. So you go to these funerals and there are hundreds of people. Hundreds of people. If it's very well-known people, thousands. Thousands. And it's a big ritual. And I was reading something about it yesterday. A lot of this comes from pre-Christian Ireland. The Celtic peoples must have had a strong... the pagan Celtic peoples must have had a strong interest in this. And now, a lot of these traditions, when Catholicism became established, they didn't like these traditions, so they tried to get rid of them. But a lot of them have lasted, and some of them have even come back. So the most traditional funeral was something we call a wake. Meaning that the idea was to wake up the soul of the person so the soul would fly up. And my mother told me, I was talking about this some time ago, maybe even with you guys, my mother was talking during Christmas, because we also have a strong storytelling tradition. And she was saying she remembers when one of her grandmothers died, her mother's mother died. And I think my mother might have been 10 or 11, so old enough to remember. And there was always one clock in the house, one clock on the wall. They would stop the clock. Uh-huh. They would cover all the mirrors with black cloth. And they would open the windows. So the idea being that the person was dead, the soul would fly out. And I'm not sure what the problem with the mirrors was. The soul would fly out the window. And then another tradition, I only saw this once and it made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. There was a tradition called keening. And my father said this happened at one of his grandmother's funerals. Keening was was actually a person. And these people would come to funerals, especially in the countryside in the West. And they would keen. And keening was, I don't even know if I the sound is like they would be 3 or 4 women, older women, deliberately disheveled. What's disheveled?
Crying. With a shirt.
Mayores.
No. Like their hair was wild, their clothes.
Desaliñada.
Yeah, you see a homeless person and they look disheveled.
Yeah, disheveled. Yeah,
so this was deliberate and they'd have wild hair and their eyes would be wild. And it would be like, ooh!
Ah, sí, las lloronas. No,
plañideras. In Spain, there used to be also.
I remember as a kid seeing this and I was petrified.
Yes.
So the church tried, you don't see this, but the church wanted to get rid of this too. And the funerals would go on for 3 days.
Oh.
And especially when it was an old person, it was always seen as being a celebration of life. And I remember going to, especially in North County Kerry, a very traditional part of Ireland, I was about 14 or 15. You know, my father would get the newspaper and the not front page, straight to the, what we call the death notices.
Do you have, the Skella.
Yeah, and he would read them. And, you know, they would have, like, you know, Barrett, Copine. And it was funny because you could see his mind working. You know, this is maybe a Saturday morning, we'd be at breakfast. And he'd say, "Oh, Mother of God, that's Jack Barrett. Oh, Jesus, I have to go to that funeral. I have to go to that funeral. I have to go, I have to go, I have to go." And then we'd read on to, and there could be three in one day.
Oh, my God.
So when I was old enough to drive, he'd say, "Right, job for you." And it was like a military operation because this was mostly, you know, maybe one in the city, one 60 kilometres west and another one 50 kilometres north. So he planned it out. That one's going to be at 7 o'clock. We'll get there. I'll get out of the car. You go outside the funeral home, tenatorio. You go down the street. You turn the car. He'd go in. He'd come back out, get in the car, and we'd race off to the next one. And that way everybody would see him. Because as a politician, as a country politician especially, and a city politician, our system of politics is they must know you.
Yeah.
And if you didn't go, it would be a big problem.
Yeah.
Well, my Gene Fitzgerald didn't come to my father-in-law's funeral. I'll never vote for him again. Yes. I'll tell 100 people. And of course, it was a great way of learning about life. And then the other thing, and this is a very negative feature of Irish country life, and I suppose you have it here because you probably have it in every country in the world. Disputes in families over land.
Yeah.
Like really bitter disputes.
Yes. And or offences.
Yes. And there was a case I read about yesterday where a guy killed his aunt. Like, this was a guy in his 60s. He ran her over with his tractor.
Yeah.
Because they'd had a dispute about land.
Yeah.
And it goes, and I know families with this going on.
Now, there's a very good movie here in Spain.
Cinco Lobitos.
No. It's a movie right now. I've just watched it, but I don't remember the name. This about a dispute between land with French people and Galician people.
I saw the field. So you got a sense of it.
Asbestas.
Very good.
Asbestas. That means las bestias.
And you saw the field.
Yes.
Now the field, of course it's Hollywood, but the field gets the
idea.
I
like it very much.
I reckon there's one of the greatest, I mean, it's a very Irish film. You get to see the beauty of Ireland, but you also get to see the dark, dark side of Irish people with the obsession with the land. Which, of course, some of it goes back to the famine where people, you know, a million people died in one year and they had to hang on to the land. And it's literally about a field. It's based on a true story. And the true story is basically as follows. So, again, North County Kerry. I don't know what part of Spain you could use. You know, Ireland is small, so there are parts of Ireland, you're never very far from a town. But at the same time, some places are very isolated. Two neighbours, small farmers, good friends for their whole lives, a little bit more than subsistence farming, and very wet ground. And of course, the cattle must have access to water. And they made an agreement they would improve the access to the cows of one person. One guy moved the fence. How do you say fence?
La valla.
Probably by no more than 2 meters. A feud erupted. F-E-U-D.
Yeah.
What's a feud?
Una disputa.
Yeah. And suddenly one of the men was missing in this rural area. And everyone in the local area, this was like in Sicily, there was total omerta.
Really?
Yeah, the cops came. They came from Dublin questioning everybody and everybody. No, I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about it. And then the body was found on his farm, in a river, under a riverbank. And someone had put it there. So the suspicion was the other guy had killed him. Nothing was ever proved. But in the tradition of the time, the other man, whose name was Dan Foley, he was boycotted and shunned by the community. What's boycotted?
Boycotteado.
Yes, and shunned.
Bypassed.
People wouldn't speak to him. Yes. They wouldn't buy his milk at the creamery. They wouldn't help with his farm.
And ostracized.
Yes.
Ostracized, very good.
Obliven, yes. Obliven, obliven, oh. Oblivium. No.
Oblivium.
Mm. No, he died. He died of a heart attack because of the stress. So people said, that's justice. And the cops, were frustrated because nobody would tell the story. Because in Irish culture, even now, in Irish culture, it's seen as like really bad to what we call squeal or rat or tell on somebody.
Yeah. But if it's guilty...
But it was I think it comes from occupation from the British.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because the British soldiers would come and they'd say, have you seen Mammon? No. And we're telling a lot of stories today, but another story that my mother was telling at Christmas time, because it's a good time for stories. A neighbor, so my mother's grandmother, her maternal grandmother, lived in a small farm by herself. A very hardworking woman. She had turkeys. She had geese.
Gansos.
She had all kinds of hens. She grew her own vegetables and she would go to the nearest town in her donkey and little cart. And during the War of Independence, her last name was Desmond, which is a very common name in Cork. And she also had neighbours that were Desmonds. Now, the neighbours' sons were in what was then the IRA. They were on the run, trying to evade the British. And the British soldiers got confused. And so they would come to her house and they would walk around the house at night. This poor woman living by herself and hearing soldiers walking around her house at night. Can you imagine? And eventually, because there was an informer. What's an informer?
Who said
one of these guys is back in his house. Mm-hmm. And so the British came, small house. And some neighbor had said he's there and probably did it for money. And they went in the house and the neighbors and old Mrs. Desmond from this other house was in bed and she pretended to be sick and she was screaming with pain. And, you know, it was wintertime, so she had a lot of blankets on the bed and the son
was under the blankets.
Oh my God.
In the room and the soldiers were, you know, screaming at her. And the other sons were trying to fight these soldiers and he's not here. And they left. And he lived to be an old man. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So more, less, not too many stories, more vocabulary. Valoración.
Evaluation.
Okay. Or in terms of assurance or something very formal.
Assessment.
Another one.
Appraisal.
Yeah. Used a lot in human resources. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guardaespaldas.
Bodyguard.
Good. Hormigón.
Concrete.
Callejón sin salida.
The street.
Dead end.
Dead alley. Dead end.
And if you go to England, you would...
Cul-de-sac.
Cul-de-sac.
It's a French word.
Yeah, I don't know if some reason we use this. Yeah. If you say cul-de-sac to an American, they'd say, what are you talking about?
Really?
Yeah, for some reason it's used, I don't know, in English, in British English. Borde, like on a table.
Edge.
Very good. Solomillo.
Sloin.
Now, here, this is American English. They say filet mignon, which is French. I don't actually know what filet, I don't know what, I think we would say, okay, all right. You would ask for a fillet steak in British English.
But solomillo has a name, sirloin.
No, there's also sirloin.
Sirloin.
There's also sirloin. I don't know, because I don't actually do know that much about steak. Like, the fillet steak is the one with the least fat, typically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a T-bone steak.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know that much about them. Except that I know that Spanish meat is, in this case, very good. Ajetreado.
Hectic.
Yeah. And a common use of hectic in English is in the negative sense. How's John's health? Not hectic. Meaning not good. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Mm. Impuesto sobre la renta. The thing we all love to pay. Two words in English.
IVA.
Tax return.
No, that's declaración.
Income tax.
Income tax.
Yeah, care for the pronunciation.
Income tax.
Good.
IVA. Sí, el IVA.
No. IVA is VAT in English. Okay. Value added tax.
And what did you ask?
Impuesto sobre la renta.
Income tax.
Yeah.
Okay.
Declaración de la renta.
Yeah.
I saw you.
Tax return.
Careful of tax.
Tax return.
Good.
Yeah.
Probabilidad.
Probability.
Good. Or?
Chance.
Likelihood. Odds also.
Oh, the odds. Yes, very good. Odds. Yeah. And which is used, of course, in betting. But you would say, what are the odds that John will be here today? What's the likelihood? But very, very good. Very
How
good.
Do you spell odds?
O-D-D-S.
Odd. Double D.
Yeah. Okay. Like odds and evens. Odd numbers, even numbers. How do you say odd numbers?
Números impares.
And even numbers?
Pares.
Yeah.
And how do you call Hacienda?
It depends on the country. But for example, in Britain, it is the Inland Revenue.
Inland Revenue.
In Ireland, it's the Revenue Commissioners. In the United States, it's the IRS, which means Inland Revenue Service. Okay. So very often, revenue.
Revenue.
Yeah, yeah. The people that that we all want to avoid. Enseguida.
Right now.
Good. Another one? Right?
Right.
Straight. Straight away.
Right away. Right away. Yeah, right away.
And there is something with straight?
Right. So straight away. Yeah. Straight away. Yeah. I'll do it straight away. Yeah. Hasta la vista. Think of Sound of Music.
Yes.
So long. Farewell. Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye. So long.
So long.
Very American. So long.
But do you say that? Or was it
Americans.
Just in the American?
Americans, I don't know if they say it as much as they used to. Yeah. So long. Yeah.
And you, what do you say?
See you.
See you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if you go to parts of Ireland, you hear glug, which means good luck.
Good luck. Do you say good luck?
Yeah.
When do you see you?
When you, like, especially between men, good luck. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, we have a silent greeting, especially between men, especially in the countryside. If you know a person a little bit, you're walking down the street, the one parking the other way, and you lift your chin and you raise your eyebrows.
Yeah.
And that's all you do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talo.
Yeah.
Talo.
Talo. Talo. Yeah. Soberbio, in terms of something that's very good.
Superb.
Now, care for the pronunciation. You almost have it.
Superb.
How do you say sopa?
Superb. Superb.
Yeah, like the Skoda, the big Skoda, the big Skoda saloon. Superb. La peste.
The
plague.
Plague.
Sorry.
Yes.
Plague.
The plague. Yeah.
Yes.
Adjudicar o premiar.
To appraise.
Now.
To grant.
Another one.
To award. Yes. Award.
Yeah. Good. Contar con.
4-1.
Contar con.
To count on.
Yes. Always count on, not count with. Yeah. Ceder o rendirse.
Give up or give in.
Very good. And what do you see on the side of the road in the red triangle? When you go from, when you have a side road and a main road.
Ceder.
Yeah.
Give in. No?
Give the way. Yield.
Right of way. Yeah. Sobreestimar.
Overrate.
Now, literally, sobreestimar.
Overestimate.
Yep. Asentar la cabeza.
To settle. To settle down.
Very good.
But settle down is asentarse en un lugar. También. Vivir en un lugar.
It could be to live in a place. It could be, you know, John was wild when he was a kid, but he has settled down a lot.
Uh-huh.
A teacher walks into a classroom and the kids are making a lot of noise. Hey, settle down.
Ah, okay.
Settle down. Yeah. Mantener, apoyar.
To support.
Very good. We had a teacher at school, the best teacher I ever had. I had a lot of very good teachers, but the two best. One was Mr. O'Callaghan when I was about 8 years old. Mr. Coffey in secondary school. And Mr. Coffey was an English literature teacher and a great Shakespearean. And he just was an incredible human being. And he was a small man. He looked a little bit like Robin Williams, but he was bald.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big old school, ancient building, and he was always very punctual. And we were about 18 years old, and we went into after lunch, you know, full of life and making noise, went into the classroom, and he wasn't there because he was always there before us. So we were very noisy. And suddenly, in the corner of the room was a cupboard, Small cupboard.
He came out of it.
Jumped out. Oh my God. Because it was always his thing. You got to surprise your students. And he was.
A cupboard? What does a cupboard mean?
Ooh, like un armario, but a small one. And he was in there waiting for us. And he burst out. And he didn't just burst out. He burst out reciting Shakespeare at the top of his voice. Yeah. Now is the winter of our discontent. Desenvolver.
To unwrap.
Valioso.
Fallible.
Get for the pronunciation.
Fallible. Valuable.
Very good. Sensible.
Sensitive.
Very good. Ask her if she's very sensitive.
Are you very sensitive?
Not that much.
No?
Well.
We all are, a little bit, yeah. No te lo puedo decir todavía.
I can't tell you yet.
Good, and again?
I can't tell you yet.
Very good. Say it for me one more time.
I can't tell you yet.
Yeah, this sentence would cause a lot of trouble between natives, because we would say, I can't tell you yet. And we would say, did you say you can or you can't? Yeah. Because the double T. An advantage of this, how the posh people speak in the south east of England, the Londoners, they would say, I can't tell you.
I can't.
In the negative, yeah. Me guardarás una copia?
Can you get a copy for me?
Will you save a copy for me?
Very good. Another way of saying save in this case?
Will you keep a copy for me?
Very good. Si esto es lo que quieres.
If that's what you want.
Say it again.
If that's what you want.
Very good. ¿Cuánto cobrarás por cada libro?
How much will you charge for every book?
Okay, another way of saying every book?
Each book.
Very good. ¿Serán gratis?
They will be free.
And contract?
They'll be free.
Very good. Eso es muy considerado por tu parte.
That's very thoughtful for...
Now, considerado?
Thoughtful.
Okay, or?
Considerate.
Yeah.
This is very considerate from you.
Spelled considerate, but pronounced considerate.
Considerate.
And the whole sentence?
This is...
Eso.
That is very considerate from you.
Of you. One more time.
That is very considerate of you.
Good. Now contract.
That's very considerate of you.
Now considerate. Written considerate. Considerate.
Considerate.
Considerate.
Considerate.
Durate.
Considerate.
Very good. ¿Qué estamos esperando?
What were you expecting? What are you waiting for?
Ah, esperando. What were you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
Yeah, there was a great ad in the 1980s for Carlsberg beer. And it was a clip from a film, Ice Cold in Alex. And so you got the sense, it was Alexandria in Egypt. And of course, hot. And it was brilliant because you see this man and this beautiful girl next to him, you know, black and white. I think it was Spencer Tracy. And he is sweating. And you're thinking, my God, it is hot. And so they used a film clip and they put a pint of beer in front of him. And you knew that the beer, you could see the beer was cold, cold, cold. And of course, incredibly effective because you were thinking, I want a beer right now. Yeah, ice cold in Alex. And then it said, you know, at the end, Carlsberg, worth waiting for.
Mm.
Yeah, so what are you waiting for? Él te puede asesorar sobre esto.
He can... Asesorar.
Advise you.
Ah, eso. He can advise you about that, over it, over this. On this. He can advise you on this.
Very good. Yo agradecería mucho tu ayuda.
I'd appreciate your help.
Mucho.
I'd appreciate very much your help.
Good. Or?
I'd very much appreciate your help.
Okay, very good. Another way?
I'd appreciate your help very much.
Very good. Quiero prorrogar el plazo.
I want to postpone the payment.
El plafond.
The lantern.
Habéis muerto.
The deadline.
Yeah.
Deadline. I want to postpone the deadline.
Good. Now, another way of saying prorogar.
To put off.
A more Latin term.
Extend. I want to extend the deadline.
La experiencia me ha enseñado todo lo que sé. La experiencia en general.
Experiences.
It's uncountable.
Experience.
Me ha enseñado.
Has taught me. Experiences has taught me everything.
No, taught.
Experience has taught me everything I know.
Very good. Tengo reuniones diarias y semanales.
I would not contract here. I have weekly and monthly meetings.
No, diarias y semanales.
I have daily and weekly meetings.
Recibo un informe mensual y anual.
I receive a monthly and yearly report.
Very good, very good. That's it for today, folks. Don't forget to solve your problem with English. Vaughan Masters, GrupoVaughan.com or 91-133-5833. You won't regret it. Bye bye.
Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
¿Tus hijos reciben el inglés que necesiten en el colegio? ¿Llegarán gracias al colegio a dominar el inglés cuando sean mayores? ¿Podrán en el futuro mantener el tipo en el ámbito profesional con el inglés del colegio? Si quieres que tengan un nivel de dominio que sorprende de verdad a reclutadores y futuros jefes, invierte ahora en su formación y tráelos aquí, a nuestro Club Junior. Clases pequeñas, intensas, divertidas y con profesores que les encantarán. El inglés dejará de ser un rollo para ellos y su progreso cambiará de la noche a la mañana. ¿Por qué? Porque de repente les gustará el inglés y la clase de inglés. Un cambio total. Y es este cambio de actitud hacia mi idioma